This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're tuned into Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. All throughout today, we are celebrating our very first program.
Joining us in the studio today is Kate Holter, the General Manager of Communications and Fundraising at the Lost Dogs Home.
Now, Kate will be a program regular to share her wealth of knowledge and insight into animal welfare and also her knowledge of the Lost Dogs Home.
Kate, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
You've been with the organisation for 20-odd years now. I think a good place to start is asking you a bit about the organisation.
Sure. I can't believe it's that long. It's been a long relationship. The Lost Dogs Home's been around for almost 100 years now, so we turn 100 in February next year. We take in approximately 25,000 dogs and cats every year. We provide both shelter services in general, but we also provide council services, so pound and animal management services to a lot of the local councils here in Melbourne, but also in Queensland, in Brisbane, in Mossvale, in the Wincanton Shire, and up at Echuca in the Capacity Shire. So we're spreading out across Australia, but predominantly we've had most of our time here in Melbourne. We reunite lost pets with their owners. That's predominantly what we want to do. And then after that, if we can't find owners, we're looking at rehoming as many dogs and cats as we possibly can. But a lot of people think that's all we do. We do so much more. We educate people. I think a big part of our role is being proactive in changing the outcomes for dogs and cats and improving how people own them and raising awareness for responsible pet ownership. So that's a big part of what we do as well.
Now, how did you actually get involved with working at the Lost Dogs Home?
Well, I started volunteering there many years ago with my cousin. We just went in there. We both grew up on a farm and we wanted to have that interaction with dogs. So we thought, well, that's a great thing to do, and it made us feel good afterwards, and we just love that time with the dogs. So that's where I started. And then I saw a job advertised as a part-time receptionist. I thought, that sounds perfect. I was finishing my uni degree, and that's where it all began.
That's great. So, I mean, it seems like it actually is a place where fosters people to stay for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know whether it's because we all are there for a common cause. We all feel very passionately about animals and I guess dedicated to animal welfare. People can be there for 20 years, like myself. Our managing director, Graham Smith, been there for 26 years. So I guess that makes us a bit of a special organisation in that respect.
So in terms of, your interests, what keeps you at the Lost Dogs Home?
I think, look, for me, I really value that relationship between dogs or cats and pets in general and people. I think they add so much value to our lives. And in my role in fundraising and I guess in communications, but particularly in fundraising, I get to hear a lot of stories from our donors and supporters and about their dogs and their cats, particularly older people. They often are living alone and their dogs and cats are the most important, I guess, companion that they have. They structure their lives around them. And so I think at the Lost Dogs Home, a lot of what we do is obviously for animals and improving their outcomes and fighting for their welfare. But we also, I think, add so much to people's lives in what we do as well.
So tell us a bit more about where you came from. You raised on a farm, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, in the middle of nowhere in central Victoria. So animals were a big part of my life. I rode horses and, you know, my spare time on long weekends, go and chat to the cattle and the sheep. So, yeah, animals have been a big part of my life all along. So, yeah, so it's a natural to come and work somewhere like the Lost Dogs Home.
Did you have dogs when you were growing up as well?
Absolutely. We had, we had a family dog, a silky terrier called Wiley, who was gorgeous. And animals have been, a big part of my life all along.
You know, it's great to hear that, that compassion and that care and everything has been a part of your life, and that now you are actually in a position where you can share that wealth and knowledge of experience with other people as well as through your job.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what working at the Lost Dogs, one of the most fantastic things is to educate and raise awareness for the importance of being responsible owners. I think that we're in a position where we can make a difference, and that I think that keeps people there for a long time as well. So it's not about caring for those coming in that day or that week, but it's making a difference for those that are going to come in 10 years time, or that hopefully won't ever come in. So just improving the relationship again with pets and people.
Well, I think that's a great point that we should definitely touch up on again. I think there's lots there to look at, and you know, we'd also encourage our listeners to also to participate and send their questions through on that point.
So, welcome on board, Kate.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Oz.
No worries. Next up, we're going to catch up with Senior Veterinarian Dr. Alan Bolton. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Oz.
And before that, we met Kate Holter, General Manager of Communications and Fundraising at the Lost Dogs Home. Now, she will be on the show regularly to share her wealth of knowledge and experience.
Right now, we would like to introduce you to Senior Veterinarian at the Lost Dogs Home, Dr. Alan Bolton. Welcome to the program.
Hello, it's great to be here.
Now, tell us, take us back to when you first decided to become a vet.
Well, as you can probably hear, I'm not a local. I actually grew up in Northern Ireland, uh-huh. and like Kate, I grew up in a small farming community. And from a very young age, I wanted animals, and I pestered my parents to get animals. And first of all, we got a family cat, and then later on, I suppose when I was about 9 or 10, we got our first family dog. Through the school that I went to, I got the opportunity to learn to ride. And once I got into horses, I was just hooked completely. I became one of those animal mad kids who spent all day every day when I wasn't at school with my animals. When I was about 14, I started working at the local vet. So I used to work on Saturdays and during school holidays. I didn't bunk off school. And I suppose by the age of about 15, I decided that was a career path I wanted to take, and that's what I did.
So you, obviously growing up in London, what was the vet, what did you do to become a vet when you're over there?
Obviously, in the UK, you finish A-levels, and to become a vet, you have to get quite good grades. So I left Ireland and went to the University of London. It's a 5-year degree. The first 2 years are very, very theoretical. And, you know, most of my friends who went to uni, the first 2 years of their uni, they had 2 hours of uni a day and spent the rest of the time drinking coffee and whatever. But we were at uni 5 days a week from 9 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon, just learning fact after fact after fact. From third year on, it becomes much more practical, and you learn about diseases, and you learn about medicine, and you learn about surgery. But it's still pretty hard work.
What was your favourite bit to study? What intrigued you the most?
I've always really enjoyed surgery, and I still enjoy surgery now.
Got a steady hand.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you specialise in, or you're just really interested in it.
I wouldn't say I specialise in it, but I'm really interested in it, and I try to keep up to date with it, and it's something that I find challenging.
Now, how did you actually find the Lost Dogs Home? Now, I believe you've been with us for about 7.5 to 8 years?
Yep, I was working in London. At the time, I was working for a welfare organisation called the PDSA, and my partner and I had been here on holiday a couple of times. He's actually from here, and for family reasons, he decided that he'd like to move back here, and I'd enjoyed my time here, so we moved here in 2005. I actually saw my job advertised here while I was still working in London, and I applied. And I think within probably 2 weeks of arriving in Melbourne, I was working at the home, and I've been there ever since.
And it's quite a big organisation, the Lost Dogs Home, and also with the North Melbourne shelter, I think there's about 11 or so vets there and 12 to 15 full-time nurses.
Yes, that's right. I mean, a lot of the vets are part-time because our staff tend to stick around. So we have lots of people who leave, go on maternity leave, have children and come back and keep working with us.
Yeah.
And have you seen any sort of trends happen in the last, you know, 8 years that you've been working at the Lost Dogs Home, say, in regards to adoption or anything like that?
I think the main thing is people are much more willing to adopt animals that have issues. So those may be medical issues, they may be behavioural issues, and they're quite happy to take those on and actually see those as a challenge and enjoy working with us to help resolve these issues and give these animals happy homes. And I think people in general are more aware of where dogs come from if they buy them in a pet shop or from a backyard breeder. And people don't really want to support that anymore.
Now, Alan, you will be on the show to answer any listeners' questions, as well as, you know, we will be talking each week with a bit of a Q&A. Now, I believe, Oz, we have already received a couple of SMSs in and maybe even a question for Alan.
We have. We have received quite a few messages so far. One in particular relates to the spring weather at the moment. So we'll bring you the answer to that question later in the Q&A segment that Alan will have. later on in the program.
Yeah, and thank you guys for SMSing in. We definitely love to hear from you. And, well, Alan, welcome on board.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
That's great. So right after this, Alan and Kate will join us to preview what's on the weeks to come. You're on Pets Aloud with The Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Right now, we're going to take a look at some of the topics we're really excited to bring to you over the next 12 weeks. In the studio, we've got Kate Holter, GM of Communications and Fundraising at the Lost Dogs Home, and also Senior Veterinarian Dr. Alan Bolton.
Now, a big part of what we do at the Lost Dogs Home is actually encourage the public to think of adoption first, rather than going to somewhere like a pet store or a puppy farm or buying online. Now, Kate, you've actually adopted from the Lost Dogs Home not once, not twice, but three times. Take us through your personal experience with that.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to have three very gorgeous dogs from the Lost Dogs Home. I previously was actually a big dog owner. I had a lovely Labrador who passed away last year, and now I'm the owner of three very little dogs. So it's been a bit of an adjustment, but I'm actually loving them very much. I have a Chihuahua called Peanut, who came to me a little bit indirectly. One of my good girlfriends actually adopted him from the Lost Dogs Home and then couldn't keep him, so he came to me, and he's now the best friend of my son Sebastian. And then I adopted Tess is a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel Cross, and quite often happens to staff at the Lost Dogs Home, you just stumble across dogs, and you know, for some reason that one just, you know, captures your heart or it just means something to you. And so I kept crossing her path. She was actually adopted and returned. She went through our behavior modification program. She was very scared, you know, just scared of her own shadow. So I took her on, and she's actually a beautiful dog, and she's really blossoming into a confident and quite bossy dog actually now. So she's quite a different dog. And then Molly, I'm a failed foster carer, which is what we say at the Lost Dogs Home. I took on Molly as a foster dog. She needed some knee surgery, and I couldn't really hand her back, so she's with me too now. So that's it. That's my three dogs.
You've worked, obviously, with the Lost Dogs Home for quite a number of years now. Are perceptions changing about adoption?
I think they are. I think people sort of thinking adoption first. It's become a little bit more trendy, for want of a better phrase, and I think, but that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think people want to make a difference to the lives of animals, and I think, you know, they understand if they adopt, they're going to make a difference, that they may have to do some obedience training, and they may have to sort of settle in a dog over a few weeks or even a few months, but there's real reward in doing that. You're making a difference to that dog's life. Quite often, if they've, you know, had a rough start and you're giving them nothing but love and tender care and time, they will be the loyalist and, you know, closest companion. They'll be just lapping up that attention, so they make really special pets. And they're also really good value, I think, at the Lost Dogs Home.
Well, there is that too. If you could just quickly just tell us, like, the I suppose, the advantage to the pocket, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, you, as a responsible pet owner, you need to dissect your dog. You need to microchip it. You need to have a tag on it. You need to worm it and vaccinate it. And all those things are done when you adopt a dog or a cat. Same thing, adopt a cat from the Lost Dogs Home. And you had to do those things at a private vet. It would cost you a lot more than, say, $300 for a dog at the Lost Dogs Home.
Now, you've mentioned microchipping and tags and things like that. Now, one of the other parts of the Lost Dogs Home is actually the National Pet Register. Now, Alan, I believe identification is something you've had some personal experience with.
Oh, about a year ago, I was walking on the near the beach with my 18-year-old Chihuahua. Well, she's now 18. And she managed to toddle off into some bushes and toddle out the other side. Luckily, she is microchipped, and she's also got an NPR, National Pet Register, tag on. But the most important thing, and the reason I got her back, was she had a tag with my phone number on. So someone who lived locally found her trying to cross Beach Road and picked her up, took her home, and called my number. So I think that's really important for people to remember that nowadays, everyone has a mobile phone, so if you lose your dog, the person who finds it will be able to call you straight away.
And on that point, the National Pet Register, that's something that I think we should sort of talk about.
So National Pet Register is a microchipping scheme run by the Lost Dogs Home. So we microchip dogs. We do it. We sell chips to vet clinics. We do it through our own vet clinic. We have microchipping days organized by local councils where you can get your pet microchipped, I think, for $20. Often it is.
$25, I think.
That's right, $25. Sometimes we have specials those where it's $20, but a lot of the time it's $25, yeah.
We do also, National Pet Register does a lot of free tags as well, which is a free pet identification tag, because we do have a 24/7 call centre. So if your pet does get lost and you, you know, you happen to be not around or anything like that, then if anyone finds that tag, they can actually call our call centre and we can help you locate them.
Yeah, I'd encourage you to stay tuned for that number when we bring it up later on in this program in our upcoming events segment.
Now, you are tuned into Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9, so don't forget you can also find all you need to know about our program on our Joy profile page. Just log on to joy.org.au and look up Pets Allowed.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
My name is Kevin and I'm here with Oslam. We're also joined in the studio by Kate and Alan to discuss what is coming up on our shows.
Now, Kevin, you're pretty passionate about training and behaviour. I've seen you in the office looking these things up all the time, and all you talk about is actually those two points. Why are you so passionate about training and education?
I guess it's part of the reason why I actually started working at the Lost Dogs Home. So I saw the training school out the front of the Lost Dogs Home in North Melbourne, which is the Planet Canine Training School, and I just went, that's where I want to bring my dog. And funnily enough, it actually turns out my brother used to take his dog to the same place, mm-hmm. which was really interesting because it kept it within the family. So once that happened, because I was a blogger and I was a dog blogger, we used to talk about the training a lot and everything like that. And I actually ended up fostering a relationship with the Lost Dogs Home. That's where I came along, started working there, and I do a lot of work with Nicole, who is the head of Planet Canine, with promoting our behaviour rehabilitation program. So she does a lot about the dogs that might not pass the behavioural assessment but have a chance of getting better and overcoming those issues and moving on to a new home.
So it's just not a matter of teaching a dog how to sit and roll around. It's a lot more than that, isn't it?
That's right. Actually, a lot of it sometimes, especially with classes and everything like that, is actually teaching the people how to actually manage your dog because, you know, a lot of people won't actually know what happens when a dog is dog aggressive and wants to go after the dog that's just walked past you on a lead or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's very different and there is a lot of stuff, especially within the shelter, about dogs that are, you know, bark a lot or things like that. And we obviously want to give them the best possible chance of finding a new home and staying in a new home.
That's definitely something that we want to look at. And also, you know, dogs that embarrass you in public, you know, on a lighter note, you know, how to sort of control that. There's heaps of great topics there we look forward to covering over the next 12 weeks. So if you have any suggestions, do send them our way. You can email us at lostdogshome@joy.org.au. That again is lostdogshome@joy.org.au, or you can contact us now on 0427 joy 949 or send us an email to onair@joy.org.au.
And don't forget that we will be podcasting the show as well, so you can always catch something you might have missed, or if there's something really important that you can't live without, check out our program page on joy.org.au. Do stick around, because Alan and I will explore the benefits of adopting a mature-aged cat. Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. This is Joy's first program all about pets. So if you're thinking about taking on the responsibility of having a new feline friend, you might find yourself looking at, oh, you know, a cute little kitten. But, you know, why not take a different approach? In celebration of Seniors Week, we're going to discuss the merits of adopting a mature-aged cat. Now, I would like to invite our resident vet, Alan, back to talk about this. So, Alan, firstly, how old is a mature-age cat?
Well, cats can live anything up to 20 years, but I think it's generally accepted that once they get over 8 years old, we classify them as mature and they might need special treatment or special food. At the dog's home, when we're rehoming cats, anything over three can present us with a problem because, as you say, people really want kittens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and people don't realise that kittens are actually, you know, they might destroy some furniture or there's a lot of work involved in getting a kitten. So what are some of the benefits of adopting a mature-age cat?
Mature cats need much less time investment at the start. Adult cats need feeding less often. Kittens, you may have to feed sort of three, four times a day, whereas a lot of adult cats you can feed ad lib. if you get a kitten, you'll have to kitten-proof your home. Kittens have a habit of scratching furniture, like you say, climbing curtains. They can disappear up the back of the fridge, which obviously you don't want. So there's a bit of work involved there. And also kittens will probably need to be litter trained, whereas mature cats usually come trained. Older cats have settled personalities. So really what you see in the shelter is what you get when you take them home. Whereas kittens, they develop as they grow and they can, you know, they change. The other thing is older cats, if you're at work all day, they can occupy themselves. You know, they can sleep 18, 20 hours a day. And as long as you play with them when you get home, they're happy. The main reason, though, is that we have so many adult cats and they're so difficult to rehouse. So please help us find them a home.
Definitely. I mean, walking through the cattery at the Lost Dogs Home, you do see so many older cats that are just waiting. You might see them for weeks and they're waiting for that right person to come and adopt them. So, you know, Seniors Week is the perfect time to adopt a mature age cat and to appreciate a mature age cat. For more information, check out 7 Enticing Reasons to Adopt a Mature Age Cat. It's an article on our website at dogshome.com. Now, Oz, I think Betty and Jordan actually sent us a message in. What was the question they wanted to ask?
Yeah, Betty and Jordan are currently making the most of this really fantastic spring weather and they've gone out for a walk. And Alan, Betty wanted to know what sort of allergies they should be looking out for that's specific to this time of the year.
Grass and plant allergies are really common in spring and summer. So what tends to happen is your dog will get itchy feet, it'll have an itchy tummy. The best way of dealing with it is probably keep them off freshly cut grass to start off with, because once grass has just been cut, it exudes the sap and that's irritant. Mm. There are certain plants which are really, really irritant to dog skin. The classic one is wandering dew. So if you've got that in your yard, dig it out. And I suppose the last thing is fleas are much more common in summer, so you need to treat your dog.
Yeah, and if you do have any specific questions, feel free to email us, lostdogshome@joy.org.au, but definitely go and see your vet as well if you are worried about anything at all. Up next, we're going to look back at the week that was with the Lost Dogs Home News Wrap. I'm Kevin, you're here with Oslam, Kate and Alan on Pets Aloud.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 welcomes a whole new lineup of programs for October. Fridays, wake up at 6 at 6, the top 6 songs to get you pumped up for your day ahead. From 6:30, Murphy's Law has you covered for music, news, interviews, up-to-date traffic reports and weather with brother and sister combo, Dean and Anna. Daytimes, your best mix of music and current affairs with your favourite Joy presenters, including our new program, Pets Aloud, for 1 hour of entertainment from noon. From 4, driving you mad, driving you crazy. It's David and Sue on Friday Drive. Then, as the sun goes down, Joy turns up the music with a range of Melbourne's best dance, pop, electro, party hits and more with a range of music programs. 7 p.m, S&M Fridays. 9 p.m, All Mixed Up. 11 p.m, Classic Dance. 1 a.m, DJ Mitchie Mix in the Mix. And after a long, hard night of partying, Michael presents a dance mix from 4 a.m. Fridays on Joy. For the full program guide, head to joy.org.au.
The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
So, Oz, what are some of the highlights of the Lost Dogs Home this week?
Well, we had quite an interesting story earlier in the week. A poodle was found in the western suburbs of Melbourne, 18-month-old black poodle, and it was found in quite a neglected state. She had quite matted hair and flea-ridden coat. So it was quite a sad case, but Bess was brought to the home and was clipped and received a full checkup and was found to be quite a dynamic poodle inside all of that really matted hair. So she went up for adoption earlier in the week as well, and within days she was adopted. So she's found a new home.
That's wonderful, and it is actually something that we see a lot at the Lost Dogs Home. A lot of dogs coming in with matted fur and everything like that, and it's just because a lot of people don't actually actually realise how much these things cost. Mm-hmm. Now, we've also had, in time for Seniors Week, we had a very interesting article by another one of our vets at the Lost Dogs Home, Dr. Joanna Chan. So she was writing about senior pets and technical advancements in modern veterinary medicine, surgery, diagnostics and nutrition. So, you know, nowadays pets live longer and their quality of life has also increased dramatically. So one example is, you know, using new generation non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs to help sort of aches and pains for arthritis and things like that. So there are a few warning signs to look out for if you think your pet might be having a problem, so such as increased thirst and urination, loss of bladder control, breaking house training. If any, you know, if you are worried, please contact your vet and, you know, contact one of our vets at the Lost Dogs Home. We're always happy to help.
It was also World Animal Day yesterday, and it's been a day that's been celebrated across many countries around the world, and a lot of countries are continuing the celebrations over this weekend. Lots of countries, including right from Syria, believe it or not, I mean, they're currently experiencing quite a big civil war at the moment, but despite that, they celebrated the event through to Cyprus, Malaysia, New Zealand, and of course Australia. Locally this weekend, Edgar's Mission, a non-for-profit sanctuary for rescued farm animals, will be holding an event this Sunday. So Sunday, October 7, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. At 365 McCargs Road near Kilmore in Willowmaven. So if you'd like the details for that, we'll post that up on our page, or you can get in touch with us or Edgar's Mission. Their website is edgarsmission.org.au. The event will include a lot of inspirational speakers and farm tours as well.
Now, also, if you have Instagram, we did launch our October Pet Photo a Day Challenge. Mm-hmm. So today's pet photo was favourite place. So we've actually received quite a few different things. You can follow us at Lost Dogs Home on Instagram, or also the hashtag is Pet Photo a Day. So that was the news of the week. Don't forget, you can also check out more Lost Dogs Home news on dogshome.com.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
It's the perfect mix of music, news and interviews. It's the world's most uplifting station, Joy 94.9.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
It is time for Dog Dates, your pet's ultimate guide to their social calendar. So please get out your pencils. Next weekend, National Pet Register will be at three different locations and events. The Frankston Pet Day Out will be taking place on Sunday, October 14th. It is fun for the whole family, including your pets. There'll be a stack of activities ranging from pet parades, competitions, displays and demonstrations, lots of free rides, free activities for the kids, and National Pet Register will be there with discounted microchips for $25 per pet. Now, you do need to book beforehand. We'll give you the website address in just a moment. Head on over to Ballam Park next Sunday, October 14th, between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. for the Frankston Pet Day Out.
If you can't make it to Frankston, head over to Ivanhoe for the Companion Animal Microchipping Day. The National Pet Register will be at the event offering $25 microchipping, and with each pet microchipped, you will receive a free identification tag that will store your details in the National Pet Register database. The Companion Animal Microchipping Day will take place between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. at the Ivanhoe Town Hall Car Park at 275 Upper Heidelberg Road, Ivanhoe.
Now, also, if you live near Williamstown, there'll be the Hobson's Bay City Council Dog in Dogtown. It is also a Companion Animal Microchipping Day with the National Pet Register. There'll be between 10 and 4 at the Commonwealth Reserve Nelson Place in Williamstown. Oz, is there anything else on, maybe tonight even?
Actually, tonight, for those of you that are love your pets but also are interested in art, head over to the Off the Curb Gallery for the Origin of Fur and Whiskers exhibition. The exhibition will aim to raise awareness for animal protection, and also will raise funds to that will be donated to the Lost Dogs Home. So it's something that we greatly appreciate. Thank you to the artists for putting together the exhibition. There's some really, really great art pieces that are going to appear there. So the details for that Off the Curb is 66B Johnson Street, Collingwood, and it's from tonight through to the 19th of October, and the time for that is 6 to 9 p.m.
Now, if you have a community event you would like to add to Dog Dates, something, you know, that you can take your dog along to, please send us an email, lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Include the event date, location, a brief description of the event and your contact details.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. This week's Pet of the Week.
Now, each week we're going to put a cat or a dog in the limelight for our Pet of the Week segment. But we thought, you know, being as it's our first show, we were going to kick it off with not one, but two prospective pets. Alan, who do we have up for adoption this week?
We have a very special pair, Mog and Meg. Mog and Meg are both Jack Russell Terrier mixes. They're tricolour. They came in together, so they may be related, but certainly they're the best of friends. And because they came in together, we'd like them to go together to a new home. Meg is about 1.5 years old. She's female. Mog is 3 years old, roughly, and he's male. Both are extremely happy, outgoing, and friendly. They're great company for each other, and they will keep their new family entertained. Mog has a mild problem with his kneecaps where they tend to dislocate. Now, this is really common in little dogs. If it's severe, we fix them before we put them up for adoption. His are really, really mild and shouldn't cause a problem, but you should keep an eye on it and have him checked by a vet regularly.
That's right. And as with all animals that we have up for adoption, Meg and Mog have both been de-sexed and vaccinated. Their worming is up to date, and they've also been checked over by our vet team. So if you think this terrific terrier duo could be the right pets for you, here are their ID numbers. So we've got Meg, who is 921019, and Mog, 921018. Now, if you did miss their ID numbers or just want some further information on how to adopt Meg and Mog, check out our program page on the Joy website, joy.org.au, or please contact our North Melbourne shelter on 93292755.
Missed your favourite segment on Pets Allowed or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsallowed to subscribe to our free podcast.
Now, thank you so much for tuning in to Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. I'm Kevin. First of all, big thank you to Kate, Alan and Oslam for today's shows. Look, we're all looking forward to sharing our wealth of knowledge and experience with you over the next grid. And you know what? Thank you guys that have been sending us messages in, because we've actually received quite a few, which is great to see, you know, considering it's our first show, isn't it?
It's been an incredible response, really, from our listeners. Thank you so much to Betty from Altona, Graham from Wheeler Hill. Thank you also to Tim and Sarah from Noble Park. Your questions, we got around to one of them, although the other questions relating to anxiety issues with your pets is a really good one. And we'd like to cover that in our program next week when we look at mental health in your pets as well as yourself as an owner.
So join us next week from noon on Friday when we will focus on the positive impact on pet ownership on mental health. So Alan, what are we going to be discussing?
I'm going to be talking how you can keep your pet's mental health good, how to stop them getting bored, and maybe a little bit of how to deal with anxiety.
So don't forget to keep in touch with us. Check out our Joy program page on joy.org.au to connect with us via social media. Also check out our podcast to make sure you didn't miss anything. We'd love to hear from you and any suggestions or anything that you want to hear on the show. So please shoot us an email, lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Now stay tuned. We're going to leave you in Sammy's Capable Hands for Afternoon Joy with Joy's special mix of music from around the world. You've been on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.